Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ahí va Xavi, Memphis, Llorente remata, gol, 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 de Marcos Llorente. Indecisión de la defensa del Madrid y Marcos Llorente, que viene desde el cielo saltando la dos de cabeza.
Hola amigos, welcome to La Liga Lowdown. I'm your host Matt Clark, delighted to be joined by Roman Darquer, and we've just finished watching another Madrid derby, the third one of 2024 already. And we've had a Madrid win, we've had an Atleti win. So, of course, we should have expected we were going to get a draw. And so we did. Roman, I was expecting to be saying Madrid are 4 points clear. They're stretching away. It's their title to lose. But Marcos Llorente had other ideas with that bullet header to break Madrileño hearts and Madridista hearts even. And mean that the title race is still on. So what a game we witnessed there. And Girona fans cheering everywhere.
Girona fans and even some Barca fans, I'd say now. Yeah, it's true.
Pretty much all of them.
Oh, of course, because Madrid lost. But aside from that, 8 points is not such a big gap. You know, hopes may arise here and there. And if Girona get a good result next weekend, I mean, it opens up things again. So it's definitely a positive result for the competition itself, because as you said, if Madrid had won this game, it would have been practically game over and very difficult for any other team to have a shot at the league.
Atleti then unbeaten against Real Madrid in the league for the first time since 2015-16, and they scored 5 headed goals against them this season. It was a lot made that Madrid's side was quite short in terms of players unavailable and in height terms, because the centre-backs were Nacho and Carvajal, and for 92 minutes they defended pretty well when they had to, but it was that last minute when the loose ball was in the box and Llorente was the one to take advantage. Do you think that ultimately the defensive absentees cost Madrid that win?
Yeah, I was actually going to mention that the air balls were something that Madrid were really struggling with this whole game, and that's where most of Atleti's danger came. Of course, not just Llorente's goal, but the Savic goal that got ruled for offside was also a header. And I mean, they were really suffering in that aspect, and definitely not having Rudiger and Militao, for example, is a big blow in that sense for them, because you know those guys are tall, strong, have those physical conditions that allow them to jump out up high, and at the same time Lunin wasn't really transmitting too much security either in that aspect. So in the end, it was what allowed them to drop points, I'd say, because Madrid offensively did have their shot despite, you know, not having Vinicius there, who got injured in the warm-up, etc. They were still creating. Brahim was fantastic. Bellingham, as always, you know, he's such a dangerous player, and they were having their opportunities, and they could have scored probably a few more. But at the back, that's where they really suffered. And if they had to concede, it had to be an air ball somehow.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's good for the league in terms of the title race that Madrid have dropped those points, because it means Girona are only 2 points behind. And of course, that crucial clash at the Bernabeu next weekend is going to be absolutely tantalising for everyone to witness. Just thinking back about Atleti, they're proving quite hard to beat this season, but still a long way off in terms of the title race. Do you think they have an outside shot, or is that still too far to say?
I mean, it's going to be difficult. It's 10 points. There's Girona still involved. There's Barcelona still involved. Of course, Madrid up there. I always thought they had a shot, you know, especially when they were earlier in the season. They were one game in hand. They were doing really well. They were getting good results and they weren't that far off. But then they began to drop some important points. And I think that's really complicated things. Definitely, it's not over. I mean, the league is very long. Anything can still happen. There's also another Clásico coming up at some point where, you know, in the end, I know Madrid are better, but they can always drop points there. As we said, Girona is another tough game, and Madrid sometimes tend to struggle against weaker sides, especially when they're playing away from home, you know, so I'm sure they'll drop a few more points here or there. Just depends on the consistency that Leti and these other teams can actually develop during the rest of the season. So at this stage, it's very difficult, but I mean, you can never say impossible in football.
Absolutely. Impossible is nothing. And 90 minutes is a long time in the Bernabeu. For balance, though, Madridistas, I will say that to only concede 15 goals in 23 league games is very impressive when you've been without Thibaut Courtois all season, without Militao all season, and without Alaba for large chunks. And of course, in this particular game, losing Vinicius in the warm-up and having Rudiger absent too. So overall, a really solid season from Real Madrid. 18 wins in 23 and still in pole position for the league, we'd say. 2 points clear from Girona. Let's talk about Girona's game then, because that was the glamour game on Saturday night. It was 0-0 with Real Sociedad. Real Sociedad taking two draws from Girona this season. But it was quite controversial, Roman, wasn't it? Michel ended up being kind of sent away. He had a touchline ban for the Bernabeu. And they got some important suspensions too off the back of this game. So describe this game. What kind of happened? Where was all the drama?
Yeah, there was a bit controversial. I mean, there's always controversy lately in La Liga, especially when it comes up to the teams at the top. Also, Yangel Herrera and Daley Blind, you know, getting cards in the 88th and 97th minute, which fortunately for Real Madrid means they won't be able to play the next game because they've got five in total and are suspended for those matches. So, I mean, there was also complaints on that, you know, that was it necessary to, you know, give them yellow cards at that stage? But, you know, and especially also in terms of the goal that Girona did score against Real Sociedad, which was a fantastic brawl play, I'd say, by Savinho, who manages to put in a beautiful cross for Yangel Herrera. But there was a previous offside, like 30, 40 seconds earlier to that goal. And the controversy here is whether that offside should have actually been an offside, of course, because there was a couple of Real Sociedad players that do make contact with the ball during the play. So some are saying that it should have not been ruled out, sorry, because those players made contact, so it kind of cancels out the previous offside. But others are saying that Real Sociedad needed to have actual possession of the ball, not just touch it, you know, for that to change. So, I mean, in the end, I'm seeing so many opinions and so many different plays. Even the Atletico Madrid goal by Savic, the Saul position. Some are saying it's offside. Some are saying it's not offside. And I'm talking people that know about refereeing. So it's even they themselves don't have a clear opinion on these things. So you really don't know what to say or what to think. But I mean, we want to think that the refs made the right call. You know, that was a fair offside. And I mean, in the end, it felt like it would be a tough and very tricky game for Girona. Real Sociedad are always a very tough team to beat, very rocky at the back. And in the end, they kind of cancelled each other out, even though Girona, you know, had the capacity always to go forward. They never look back and they just keep pushing. But Real Sociedad had enough to grab a point in a very difficult stadium.
Yeah, I think the key question, as you say, was at what point does the, you know, the phase reset in terms of the attacking phase, and then, as you say, when they lose possession, does that signify a change of phase, or is that still the same attacking phase? There's so many grey areas now, much more than it seems like they used to be, and with VAR involved as well, it seems like we're constantly talking about the interference and whether it should be there or not.
Yeah, I just wanted to add that I think maybe refereeing or the rules themselves are just overcomplicated. Maybe they should simplify, not, you know, have these offsides where the player is in front of the goalkeeper, because that comes down in the end to interpretation, or this one where the offside was ages ago. Maybe just kind of avoid these things, have simpler offsides? I don't know, you know, because in the end, there's so much controversy and so many rules that are, as you said, in gray areas, and we're not sure if it's this or if it's that, and even the refs themselves are doubting. Then you have a ref on TV who says, no, I think it's not offside, and the other one says, yes, it is offside. I was like, come on, guys, you guys were refs and you don't know yourselves. I mean, who's supposed to know then? So it just feels like maybe they should simplify things a bit and have rules which are just more basic and just let football happen, and, you know, would be easier for everybody.
It certainly would. It doesn't feel like anyone really is benefiting from the way it is at the moment. Mm-hmm. But that's our weekly VAR rant over for now. So, yeah, an important point for us, obviously, they had a clean sheet for both sides, which certainly for Girona is actually quite rare. They're obviously scoring loads of goals, but a 0-0, probably not what you would have expected, especially at Montilivi. As for Real Sociedad, they're going to have to look over their shoulder because they've got Valencia, Betis, Las Palmas all kind of coming up behind them. And if they keep drawing so many of these games, they might slip out of the European positions altogether. So while they have the Copa semi-final and the Champions League on the horizon, they do need to make sure they still take care of business in the league. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they can't forget that in the end, the league is important. I'm sure they're not. They haven't forgotten, of course. I mean, they're still sixth in a relatively good spot. But you can feel like so many games are taking a toll. I mean, I think we've mentioned this, that their squad maybe isn't one of the deepest. And it's true that they have tried to improve it now in the winter transfer window, bringing signings, but we'll see if that's enough. I mean, competing in the Champions League for a team like Real Sociedad is an incredible feat, but at the same time, it's very exhausting. Copa del Rey is also very exhausting. La Liga is non-stop, you know, so I mean, it's tough. And I mean, a draw against Girona in the end isn't a bad result. I think it's especially if they're playing away. So I think in the end, they can be happy with this point. And as you said, the rivals are close, but I'm sure that Real Sociedad won't give up easily. I mean, they're also going to have to recover Takekubo, for example, soon from the Asian Cup, etc. So we'll have to see how they
Japan knocked out.
Yeah, react from that.
Indeed, yeah. The two draws against Girona, not necessarily the problem. It's the other eight they've drawn in La Liga. Well, it's been a week since the Xavi news, the Xavi bombshell this time last Sunday night. It's been another pretty busy week for Xavi, and talking about referees and talking about the competition is adulterated, and then Ancelotti responding, saying, oh, I'm not going to lower myself to this level. I respect Spanish football. Lots of press talk. It was kind of like a little bit of the Guardiola-Mourinho era, but not quite to that extent. Mm-hmm. But on the pitch for Barca, at least, they've had a pretty good week. Two games, two victories. This one away at Alaves, and this is an Alaves side that was in form, and Barca went there, went two up, conceded to the phenomenon that is Samu Omorodion, and then Vitor Roque rounding off the win with his second goal in as many games for Barca. Roman, what did you make of this one? I mean, there was a red card for Vitor Roque after his goal, but overall a decent day at the office for Barca.
Yeah, honestly, I thought it was a decent performance. Quite happy with how the team played. I mean, I knew against Alaves it wouldn't be an easy game. Alaves, you know, are doing pretty well lately, had some good momentum. I knew they would be very dangerous. And I mean, they had definitely opportunities during the game to score goals. But I thought Barca were quite composed. They had more control of the ball. Tried to play more through the midfield, and then in attack they seemed a bit fresher. Always good to see Lewandowski score goals because he needs them. Same goes for Vitor Roque, even though it was a very questionable sending off for another yellow card at the end of the game, which, well, we've already ranted about VAR, but this wasn't VAR, of course, but still, it was quite strange. And overall, I think Barca did pretty well. Let's see if they can keep this up, because, I mean, it's what we've been seeing the whole season. Barca maybe have one, two good games, and then comes down to three, four, five very poor games. So the lack of consistency has been the problem. Hopefully they can build this on this game. I've said that so many times, but I hope at some point it actually happens.
Bueno. Well, they have Granada at home next weekend before a trip to Vigo to face Delta. And then it is the big one. Naples for Napoli away in the first leg of that last 16 in the Champions League, which is now pretty much all they have to realistically win this season. Some say not realistic for that either. But anyway, there was some talk about Lamine Yamal and his importance to the side, but also the concern that we've seen this before with Pedri, with Ansu. These players are so good at such a young age that they're being overplayed, too many minutes, too many games in quick succession. Is history repeating itself again with this guy?
Honestly, I don't think it's the same case at the moment as Pedri. I mean, he is playing a lot, but then let's not forget that month or two back, he was usually being rotated in or out of the match very often. He wasn't starting as much. Some were saying that maybe he wasn't as good because his performances hadn't been so bright lately. And now that he's had two or three really good games starting from the beginning, they're talking again about whether he's being overplayed. Honestly, I think Xavi's doing a good job at making the youngsters get their minutes. I don't think it's abuse at this point. I honestly think it will do him well to have more experience in La Liga. Of course, if he plays every single game from now until the end, 90 minutes, and then he goes with Spain and plays 90 minutes like happened to Pedri with the Olympics, etc., then that will be a different case. But I'm sure that at some point Xavi will decide to rotate him again. Also, let's not forget, we have Rafinha, Ferran Torres injured. We don't have that many options. A lot of players are in the infirmary for Barcelona. So, I mean, at this stage, there's not much more Xavi can do. And I think Yamal is in great form. He had a phenomenal game, I have to say, against Alaves. And now that Vitor Roque will probably not be able to play the next game, he might have to start again. So, I mean, our options are quite limited, we have to say.
Very true, very true. We'll get off Xavi's back for a change. We'll take a break there. When we come back, we'll talk more about the rest of the weekend's games, including quite a fair few draws. But stick with us because they're interesting. See you soon.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Para aplaudir al capitán en un año que está siendo duro para Iker, está jugando poco y el gol es de una calidad maravillosa. Venía por la derecha en un golpeo difícil, la engloba con el pie, le pone a contrapié y nunca mejor dicho del portero. Marca Iker, marca el Capi, marca Muniain en la catedral. 44, segunda parte. Athletic 4, Mallorca 0.
Welcome back to La Liga Lowdown Match Day 23 recap. It's been a week of many draws, but on Friday night there was one emphatic result, and that was at San Mamés. Athletic Club warming up for the Copa del Rey semi-final with a thumping 4-0 victory over Mallorca. a brace for Yuri Bechiche, a very unlikely scorer, especially of two goals, and then second half goals from Gorka Guruceta and Iker Muniain with his first of the season in the league to round off a fabulous victory for Athletic. But it did come at a cost, didn't it? Because there was much worry about the situation of the Williams brothers, both appearing to suffer knocks in this game. Roman, what more can you tell us on this?
Well, we'll have to see what happens with the Williams players, because, of course, having Copa del Rey right around the corner, they are two key figures for Valverde, and they provide that, you know, that chispa, as we say in Spanish. They have that pace, that capacity to break down defenses that most players don't, and hopefully it won't be too bad in their case. But, I mean, Athletic Club, even if the William brothers aren't there, I still think they're going to be a very dangerous side because they're a very compact team as a whole. You know, they play really well together. We talked about last weekend where they maybe felt a bit tired legs after that Copa del Rey game against Barcelona because they drew against Cadiz. But then here you can kind of tell they had time to recover and they're back on track. Absolutely thrashed Mallorca in this one. And now let's see what they can do in the Copa del Rey, because honestly, we always tend to complain that Valverde's teams start off really well, end off not that great. But so far, you know, he's really stretching the chewing gum here of Athletic Club, and they're really at a good level, and it'll going to be a fantastic, I think, match to watch.
Absolutely. We'll touch on that before the end of the show, I think, before those first legs. But Athletic, yeah, Unai Simón with yet another clean sheet. He has more clean sheets than any other La Liga goalkeeper in the league this season. And only Las Palmas and Real Madrid have conceded fewer than Athletic. So goals one way and solid at the back. That's the exact formula you want, isn't it? Yeah, Mallorca, again, a few disgruntlements with Javier Aguirre. I'm probably not close enough to the club to really know exactly where the right kind of balanced line is. But certainly a few online are suggesting that he's taken them as far as he can. But again, they've got the semi-final to play. They're going to be focusing on that, aren't they, surely?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great chance, not just for Mallorca, for Aguirre also. You know, I mean, he probably knows that his time at Mallorca might run out quite soon. And he's like, if I can make it to a Copa del Rey final, man, I mean, it's going to be a great success for him, you know, because, I mean, he also has an age. We don't know how long his managerial career will go on for, and you know, getting a shot at a title like that is massive for Mallorca. So as you said, they probably had their minds mostly focused on that next fixture, and we'll have to see, because it felt like Mallorca also had kind of improved their results of late. I guess the fact that they did well in the Copa del Rey also aided to that, but it's going to be a tough season until the end for them, and we'll see if Aguirre can stay on board basically until the season ends.
Yeah, be interesting to see how they get on the next few games and whether the Copa will be a distraction or a motivation factor for them. Elsewhere, we had wins for, well, the biggest win really in terms of the relegation picture was Celta, because they went to Pamplona and produced a very impressive performance to win 3-0 away at Osasuna. Not many teams go there and win so comfortably. I mean, 5 shots on target to Osasuna's 1. This was a comprehensive victory, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think in the end, the efficiency was there for Celta, because, I mean, Osasuna had 18 shots, but as you said, only 1 on target. So, I mean, if you don't aim properly, it's tough to get a win. And careful with Osasuna, because lately they haven't been doing that great. And little by little, they seem to be dropping down positions, you know, and at some point they could be suffering a bit more, even though we know that there are 2, 3, 4 teams that are doing really badly, and it's strange that any others get involved, but you know, keep that in mind. And then Celta de Vigo, massive win for Rafa Benitez, who, let's not forget, was hearing the fans chanting against him not long ago, you know. So 3-0 against a team like Osasuna that you said is really tough to beat in their ground, it's definitely a big boost there of confidence for Celtinhas. And let's see if this is something that the team is going to, you know, react with, or if it's just a one-off.
Yeah, it certainly felt like a massive win, and one I did not see coming, I have to say. Yeah. As you say, you know, given last week's events at Balaidos, where it really felt like the tipping point for Benitez and his tenure there, for them to go away to Osasuna and produce that kind of result is suggests that the players certainly are still on board, and that's an important sign for sure. The only other victory of the weekend came at Mestalla, and it was for Valencia against Almeria. Hugo Duro with his 10th La Liga goal of the season. He's been really impressive for them this year. And Yaremchuk as well. Arribas cut distances in the second half for Almeria, but again, wasn't enough for them to get that elusive first win. And yeah, we say this all the time. There's so little hope for them now, especially as the games tick by and the defeats keep on chalking up. So I don't really want to talk about Almeria as such, but for Valencia, it's again, we heard a lot this week, transfer deadline day, Gabriel Paulista allowed to leave the club to join Atleti. A big loss for them, but they responded in the best possible way with that victory. And they are right on the edge now of the European position. So it could still be a really impressive season for them, couldn't it?
It could, and it's sad that even when Valencia are really doing well on the pitch, something strange happens, you know, in other aspects. And it wasn't just the Gabriel Paulista thing. It was also the Rafa Mir signing, you know, that was apparently very close to being to happening. But according to Victor Horta, you know, the Valencia, I'm not sure if it was at the board or if it was just Peter Lim himself, or weren't really bothered to actually making it work, because according to Horta's words, Mir could have easily gone to Valencia, and he would have been a great signing, I think, for them. But I don't know what's happening there in that club, you know, that it just feels like some just don't care too much about the club, unfortunately. But, you know, there's Baraja, there are the kids, there's the squad doing really well, getting good results, beating an Almeria, who, as we know, are just being dragged down to the bottom. And I read an article, well, I read a headline today in La Voz de Almeria, which is a local newspaper, saying that the trust in Garitano was beginning to lose strength. And I mean, what trust, you know? Because the team has been doing very badly for a long time, and they're talking about Ruby being the man to take over. I'm not sure if it's to save them or already thinking about next season. I imagine it's that second case, but yeah. And also Almeria now have the worst record together with Sporting. They actually managed to get the same numbers, and they're just one also non-win away from achieving the record Levante had of 27 games without winning. So it just keeps getting worse and worse for them, and it feels bad, but it's what it is, I guess.
I want to do a tracker of Sporting from the late 90s and Almeria now, just to see who is going to end up with that work. Because, I mean, that record genuinely could go this year. They really very do not look like they're going to get a win from anywhere. But yeah, Ruby, he was there before, wasn't he? And then it was Vicente Moreno and then Garitano. Exactly. So yeah, real back to Ruby for that. Because he got them promoted, didn't he, Ruby? And then, what was it? Anyway, he certainly was there fairly recently, Almeria, so they could be heading back to him to see if he can rub his magic lamp and see what comes out. As for the rest of the games, we had three more fixtures and three more draws. Granada against Las Palmas was a pretty entertaining one. A red card for Granada, but they still managed to take the lead in that game through Bruno Mendes. But Las Palmas equalised in the second half. Pejino with the header. Again, a point doesn't do great things for either of those sides. I don't know if you want to say anything about this game, Roman.
Well, I just think that Las Palmas here basically missed the shot to grab 3 points, basically. Because, as you said, sending off early on for Granada should have allowed them, you know, to win this game comfortably. And then the opposite happened. They conceded and they actually struggled to get the equalizer. And in the end, it was a 1-1 result where I felt like, you know, Las Palmas should have done better. And Granada, as you said, doesn't work good for them to grab a point, but I guess it's better than losing. So let's see if they can do something else next weekend.
And a couple more results. Cadiz, their second game under Mauricio Pellegrino, away at Villarreal, who had just come off the back of that fantastic win over Barça last weekend. And Cadiz went there and got a pretty respectable 0-0 draw. So two games under Pellegrino and two stalemates. So something to build on for them. Villarreal frustrated not to win this game.
Yeah, there's something that Cadiz always seems to do well is to kind of defend, but not always. You know, just some games, you know, where they just tend to get those Zero goals against them. Yeah, frustrate other teams, but then they don't score too much either. It's just like, yeah, 0-0 or 1-0, something like that. And they're back to that thing, but I mean, point by point is better than losing as they were before. So, I mean, if they can grow from this, that will actually be really good. And I mean, going to Villarreal Stadium and getting that result, keeping in mind that Villarreal were pushing quite hard in that game to get a goal, I mean, you can give them some credit for that.
Mm. And finally, last but by no means least, a tale of two penalties at the Benito Villamarín, Getafe heading to Betis. Getafe's third game in 6 days, wasn't it? Because they beat Granada on Monday night, then they lost to Real Madrid on Thursday, was it? And then today on Sunday, took the lead at the Villamarín, Mason Greenwood's penalty, which was cancelled out by Isco's penalty. Not sure if we should mention the fallout from the Real Madrid-Getafe game, because there was a lot spoken about Jude Bellingham, and he appeared to call Greenwood a rapist. Of course, many people have their own views on that, but the reaction and the fallout I thought was quite interesting, Roman. Any thoughts on that?
Well, you said it at the beginning. It seemed like he said rapist. Did he say rapist? I mean, it's hard to interpret. I mean, the only ones who know were those, well, those who have access to the microphones on the stadium, and if somehow they could hear him. If he said it, I'm not who to judge, honestly. He wasn't convicted in the end, Mason Greenwood, and he was set free, even though we've all seen the images. It's such a difficult thing, you know, to judge, and whether Bellingham deserves to be sanctioned is down to the people in charge. I really don't want to get too much into this, honestly. And what worries me more than that, actually, is Isco's injury, who had to leave the stadium despite scoring the goal. And we know how important Isco has been for the season for Betis, and not having him could be a super incredible, massive blow for them. So we'll see how that turns out.
I'll be interested to see if they still award him with the Man of the Match award, even though he's not playing on the pitch. Because he seems to get it every week.
Yeah,
but yeah, on a serious note, we wish Isco all the best and hope that he comes back just as strong as he has been this season. The final game of the match day is at Vallecas on Monday night. Rayo taking on Sevilla. Sevilla in a real mess, as we've said many times. Quique Sánchez Flores with a rajada in the press conference, lamenting the fact that Rafa Mir is still there. And there was a load of stuff with Januzaj too about whether he would leave the club or not. He came out and said in his own statement that some of the things that were said were not true. And the club is just an absolute mess at the moment. And if they were to lose here, leaves them bang in danger, because as we say, that Cadiz point brings them level on points. So Sevilla clinging on their coattails by goal difference as it stands, they really need to start making moves, as Delta have done, to try and get themselves out. But we will end the pod by talking about the games which are coming up this midweek. And it is the Copa del Rey semi-final first legs. Really exciting pair of games here. Mallorca hosting Real Sociedad in the first leg. You would imagine they'd need a pretty positive result to take to Anoeta for the second leg, wouldn't you?
Yeah, for sure. I think 70% of Mallorca's chances are getting a good result at home. At least a draw, you know, because you can always fight for a 1-0 away or penalty shootout or whatever and surprise everybody. But losing 2-3-0 at home or something like that would be a terrible blow. So, I mean, hopefully that 4-0 against Athletic meant that they were actually really focusing on this match and that they're going to give their 100%, because it's going to be an interesting one to watch.
Mm. And then Wednesday at the Metropolitano, Fortress Metropolitano, Atleti taking on Athletic. This is probably the one that everyone's really, really looking forward to. Atleti rampant from that, or buoyed by that late equaliser against Madrid. They'll be, again, looking to take a positive game, a positive advantage to the second leg, because we know what San Mamés is going to be like in that second leg with the final within touching distance. That will be an absolute cauldron to play in. So Atleti will know 1-0 might not be enough to take into the second leg. So they'll be, you'd imagine, trying to go all out to take a 2 or 3 goal lead. But Athletic, as you said, so solid. They'll be looking to just keep it tight and maybe nick a goal on the break or, you know, counter-attack set pieces. Should be a fascinating watch.
Yeah, I mean, it's two offensive sides, actually. Now we can say this. Atletico attack, Athletic attack. I mean, both teams can get goals. And it feels like we might see another similar result to what we saw with Real Madrid and Atletico in the Supercopa, etc., where, you know, that both teams were scoring plenty of goals, or in the Copa themselves, you know, they were doing fantastically well in the offensive aspect, not so much defensively, but it was a show to watch. And I kind of feel like we could see something similar here. As you mentioned before, we're planning to see what's going to happen with the William brothers. I've read that Nico Williams will likely be there. We'll have to see what happens with Iñaki. Having them both obviously is going to be a plus to the spectacle and to the show. Not having them wouldn't be great, but as I said, Athletic are still a very, very strong side. They have very good players, and anything can happen. So yeah, Atletico will have to try and get as many goals in favor as they can, try to concede the least possible. But neutral fans, I'm sure we're going to be very entertained.
Indeed. I think Simeone alone will keep us entertained. He'll be jumping up and down on that touchline, trying to keep some measure of calm to proceedings, but I'm sure that'll be pretty hard to happen. Anyway, thank you very much, Roman, for your time and insights tonight. We'll be back with that podcast in midweek, but in order to listen to that, you will have to subscribe to Substack and upgrade. We think it's good value for the fiver a month. For rest of the season, we'll be giving you content every single day. Roman, it's pretty good value, right?
It's good value. So guys, gals, whoever's there, subscribe, join us. We love to do pods and content for you. So if we have your support, it's always much easier.
Definitely. Thank you very much once again, and we'll speak to you again very, very soon. Enjoy the Copa semis. We'll bring you your action from those first legs in a few days' time. Adios.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.